White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 338.
It's the Avengers Assemble podcast from the Jarvis Heads of AvengersAssemble.net. Now, here's your host, Van Allen Plexico.
Hello, and welcome to the Avengers Assemble podcast, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with the Jarvis Heads of AvengersAssemble.net, and all of our great supporters via Patreon.com. And there came a day unlike any other, when Earth's mightiest Avengers podcasters and fans found themselves bound together in a common cause to talk about a movie no single podcaster could ever cover, to discuss what could be the biggest, most giganticest, most humongousest superhero movie of all time, Avengers Infinity War.
The entire time I knew him, he only ever had one goal. To wipe out half the universe. If he gets all the Infinity Stones, he can do it with the snap of his fingers. Just like that.
Tell me his name again.
Thanos.
We got one advantage. He's coming to us. We have what Thanos wants, so that's what we'll use.
Let's talk about this plan of yours. I think it's good, except it sucks. So let me do the plan, and that way it might be really good.
Wow.
Still exist. Perfectly balanced. As all things should be. I hope they remember you.
I'm Peter, by the way.
Doctor Strange.
Oh, you're using your made-up names. Then I am Spider-Man.
I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined for this epic Avengers Infinity War preview episode by some of White Rocket Entertainment's main contributors and go-to personalities, and by Joe Crow.
No, what?
I'm so cruel to Joe. No, I'm just kidding. We are joined right now by Jim Yelton. Welcome aboard, Jim, as always.
Hello, everybody.
Got to have Jim on any show where we talk about the MCU, and I figured this is a big one, right? So had to get Jim. We are joined by Joe Crow of Revolution SF.
Hey, everybody.
All right. And we've got from the mothership of Earth Station 1, our good friend and occasional contributor here, Michael Gordon.
Howdy.
All right. What a great all-star collection. And my usual co-host on most shows, John Ringer, should be joining us shortly. He's a little delayed this morning, but that's just fine. We'll throw him in the mix as soon as we can. So, gentlemen, I'm so glad to have you on. As of this recording on Saturday morning, April 21st, we are less than a week away from this gigantic monster of a movie. It's the culmination of 10 years of Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it is the culmination of how many years of Avengers fandom by all of us. Oh, wait, hold on. John is available. Let me grab him. Go ahead and bring in our last member, if we can fit that many people in.
Van.
Yes. John.
I'm here.
You're here. All right, good. We got everybody. All right. So Jim Yelton, Joe Crow, and Mike Gordon are all here. There's five of us, which is appropriate for a movie with a gigantic cast. That was my idea. So let me get back to my little introduction thing, and then we're going to start talking about it. It's just going to be kind of a free-for-all, okay? I mean, kind of like I'm afraid the movie's going to be. We'll see. So hold on a second. I was just talking about this huge thing. Okay. All right. So it's impossible, really, for us to give out any spoilers for this movie, because as far as I know, none of us know anything beyond what's been in the trailers, although I have to tell you guys, I did see an extended trailer mashup thing that I think included some overseas trailers or something. And I saw stuff I hadn't seen before. The other day, I was kind of like going, oh my gosh, this is stuff that I have not seen out in the wild yet. So, but let me throw out a couple of figures at you guys and we'll start talking about it. In the last decade of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they've had 18 straight number one openings. And I think it's probably safe to bet this one's going to be the number 19. They've made $15 billion in box office so far. I think this one might make another $15 billion. They've had an average Rotten Tomatoes rating in the MCU of 83% positive, which is just amazing for 18 movies. And then there's the fact that even Black Panther, who, I mean, this is a character that, of course, always had tremendous potential, but was never a headliner, and he's made a billion and a half just about now. And just become a phenomenon. So, and plus Fandango says that more than 1,000 showings this coming weekend are already sold out a week in advance. I can vouch for some of those because it took me until yesterday to find a screening on Friday I could even get tickets to. And Fandango also reports that pre-sales for this movie are outpacing pre-sales for the last 7 Marvel films combined. So, wow. Everything points toward this being just monstrous. And I'm wondering, will it be so monstrous that it even burns us out for future superhero movies and for Avengers 4 in just a year? So, let me go around the horn with you guys and just the MCU phenomenon, this movie coming up, before we get into the movie itself, just in terms of the phenomenon of what Marvel has done, what are your thoughts right now going in? And let me start with Michael Gordon.
Well, it's impressive to say the least. I mean, this has never been done in history, right? They're doing Marvel, Disney, Kevin Feige, and everybody involved is just, it's incredible. That's why I think, despite the fact that every time I might have some misgivings about a movie coming up from them, I just put it away because their consistency, their level of consistency has been so solid that I'm not worried at all.
Yeah, and let me just add on to that, Michael, that somebody on Facebook, one of our old Avengers friends, asked me yesterday, am I I don't seem as anticipating as hyped up for this as for Ready Player One, and there's sort of two answers to that, and then I'm going to see what you guys think. One is that the time between the two movies is not as long as all the time I was waiting for Ready Player One, but the other is because I wasn't sure what Ready Player One was going to be like, whereas I, like you just said, at this point, you have a level of confidence, right? I mean, it just seems almost impossible that Marvel could put a wrong foot at this point. So,
yeah. It would be a really bad time to do so right now.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
maybe now's not the time maybe. To slack off.
Right. No kidding. Joe, what do you think about that?
As Mr. Michael Gordon just said, in cinematic history, this has never been done. And I still cling to what I've said on panels with you, Van, and on a million other things, the idea that this is even happening. Mm-hmm. I cling to the nerdy feeling that we're getting something that we, when we were youngins, would have freaked out about. The very notion is mind-boggling.
Absolutely.
I cling to that. And now, a movie with the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxy in the same movie? What is that? I can't wrap my head around it. I refuse to wrap my head around it.
I would call this, and this is going to seem strange, but in terms of what you just said, Joe, I would call this the cinematic equivalent of the fall of the Berlin Wall. It's one of those things that is so big, so mind-boggling, you never thought you'd see it in your lifetime.
And it's the way they're playing it, and I've tried desperately to stay away from spoilers and stuff. The way they're playing it is there's some kind of finality to it, and I mean, okay, but the way the Marvel Universe is, there doesn't have to be finality.
Right.
They can just keep this thing rolling. I mean, they've told a consistent story for more or less for 18 movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. John, what are you thinking about in terms of how this whole MCU has played out so far, and is this one going to let us down?
It is amazing, the track record. And I guess there was a point, I don't know, a year ago, where I was really worried this one was going to let us down. But the two most recent movies were Black Panther and the Thor movie were amazing.
Yeah,
exactly.
So in some sense, like, I was concerned they were kind of had peaked and there was some kind of decline going on. But the last two Marvel movies were amazing. So, I really trust the Russo brothers, because maybe my favorite movie out of the whole series is Winter Soldier, from the individual movies. And so I think they can do it. That's the piece. And, I think they know how to, the concerns obviously are, having so many people, so many characters in a movie, how does that work? But I feel like they can, they're in a good place and they're doing it. And not just that, that they've built this thing to where the movies are consistently really good and that we expect it to be really good. But this is the biggest movie opening in that I can ever remember, other than, like Star Wars coming back and that kind of stuff, maybe.
Yeah. And it's amazing too, because it hadn't gone away. I mean, Star Wars had the benefit of going, years and years between sets of movies and having people be hungry for it. Whereas we've just had a $1.5 billion Marvel movie still out in theaters right now, and they're going to have this big thing. This is like if The Empire Strikes Back had come out 2 months after Star Wars. It's just crazy. I mean, it's amazing. So, Jim, you've been my go-to MCU guy from the beginning for years, and I want to get your take on the whole big picture, but also this, because John made a good point about the Russo brothers, and I read something the other day where somebody said that said the movies have always done great, and the critics have always liked them, But there were two that came out together that made the hardcore fans kind of go, right? And that was Iron Man 3 and Thor the Dark World. And they were pointing out that just when that happened and the fans started just the least bit grumbling, they brought in the Russo brothers and everything got, boom, right back in line again. So your overall thoughts, and also what do you think about that?
Well, it's interesting because I think the Russos, as has been mentioned, are like the perfect guys to work on these movies, because if you look at not just their previous Marvel work, but their previous work outside of the MCU, it's been very character driven. And, they don't just do gimmicky stuff for the sake of doing gimmicky stuff. A lot of the stuff that they've done has been comedic and humorous, and the comedy derives from the characters in those situations. And I think you see that with the work they've done with Marvel. But they also, they seem to have this kind of inherent ability to hone in and focus on what's important about these characters in this particular story. That's why I thought the Winter Soldier is, you know, I agree with John that it's probably my favorite Marvel movie. But them following that up with Civil War, which you on the surface seems to be an Avengers, you know, 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
It's this big group movie because of all the characters that are involved in it. And yet it is really about Captain America. I mean, it's still at its core is about Captain America having to make some tough choices and do the heroic thing, even though it doesn't seem like the right thing at the time. And he also has to do it in a way that he saves Tony Stark at the end. Like, it's all about trying to save Tony's soul, and even Tony Stark himself is fighting it, you know? Hmm. So I thought that they were brilliant, and hearing all of the things that they're talking about with Infinity War and how it really is about, you know, these character moments and these people getting to this point and having to deal with something that they've never had to deal with before and how they all kind of react to it. You know, I think that's what's going to be interesting. And I do want to echo something that Joe said earlier, because I made the exact same comment to my wife last night. We were watching Age of Ultron, and during one of the commercial breaks, they had a commercial for Infinity War. And I looked at her and I said, you know, we're beyond me seeing things in movies that I dreamed about when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, now we're starting to get the stuff that I never even thought about dreaming about.
Yeah.
Because
good way to put it.
They've done all of the stuff that I fantasized about. Now it's like they're giving me things that I never even thought to imagine, because I thought, well, it's ridiculous. We're never going to get an Ultron movie. We're never going to get a Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, I'd be surprised if they ever make an Ant-Man movie. And we've gotten all of those things and more.
Yeah. Just amazing. I mean, and think about the fact that, I mean, if you had told me, you know, years ago that it would all lead up to Thanos, there's so many Marvel villains and there's so many that are huge. And I know they kind of are in their own separate families. You know, Doctor Doom was never going to be. Even if Marvel controlled the Fantastic Four movie-wise, right, and this very had had for the last 10 years, it wouldn't have led to Doctor Doom, because that's the Fantastic Four. But I don't know that I ever would have picked out Thanos to be the big bad of 10 years of movies. And along those lines, too, you know, if you'd asked us 10 years ago, how do you want to see the Marvel Universe story play out on a screen, I'd have probably said I want a Game of Thrones type HBO series rather than movies. But if you do 19 freaking movies in 10 years, you've basically done an HBO series, you know? So it's amazing. So
and the fact that they're still, I mean, the amazing thing about Black Panther is that the formula is still working. They're trusting these directors and writers to do pieces of the puzzle without knowing anything else that's coming after it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, really working with stuff that's coming right directly before it because, you know, of the production schedules involved. And the fact that Kevin Feige has been able to keep everything fitting together as, you know, near seamlessly as he has, just is a miracle to me.
Yeah, no kidding yet. I want to dig around into what we think is coming for this movie, and that'll be our kind of our last half, I think. But before we get there, let's talk about what's come along so far that's led into this. And I also want to talk about the backstory in the comics versus the movies and all that, too. I mean, we got a lot we can dig into here. But just quick around the horn again, real fast, guys. What has been your favorite MCU movie so far? And a couple of you said, kind of alluded to it so far. But tell us, what has been your favorite Marvel movie so far and why? And we'll go back around with Michael.
I got to go with Civil War. Captain America Civil War by the Russos. It's a perfect lead in to this and gives me all the confidence that they can handle a cast this big. I mean, obviously they're doubling down from Civil War, but the fact that they were able to take so many characters in Civil War and still make it a movie that was about, you know, two guys really, and the development that that was leading up to them. It was great character pieces and spectacular action too. I mean, despite, you know, this thing where we just, I love watching superpowered beings beat the snot out of each other.
Who doesn't?
And, you know, Civil War really gives you everything you want and more. The only thing that, you know, that has been, I think, an issue with some of them has been the lack of a great villain. And, you know, of course, with Thanos coming up, I don't think we have to worry about that. So, but no, Civil War is my pick for my favorite.
You know, you just made me think of something when you said that, Michael. Do you know the one character that I think would have worked really well in the MCU up till now, and I guess could work going forward, that they haven't had an analog for this character? They've had others. We've had a Nick Fury, and we had Agent Coulson, and we've had people like that. But you know who I think would have added a little spice to it if they'd had this character all along? Is Henry Peter Gyrick. Somebody kind of running along through the background, trying to kind of undermine everybody, even while, you know, Fury and Coulson have been trying to get them together and lift them up. We haven't had that yet. That might be an interesting thing for the next phase, is somebody in the government kind of that's not a hot, you know, not just a hand-wringing, cackling villain like Hydra, but like somebody who's sincere and just thinks they need to be brought low a little bit. And you could kind of build up to that story where they end up getting all their, you know, government approval taken away, and they lose the right to fly the Quinjet, and they have to take the bus to the to go fight Korvac, you know. So, Joe, you're
One last thing. I just have to give credit also, and you've mentioned this too, is that the it also has the distinction of being an adaptation that's way better than the original source material, because I love the Civil War. I would prefer, I'll take the Civil War movie over the Civil War comic any day.
Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead, Joe, and you can echo on that and then tell us your favorite.
I agree with I totally agree with Michael about Civil War. The movie is such an improvement.
Yeah.
Over, and really the only thing similar, basically, well, no, there are similar. I mean, they use the comic as a jumping off point, but they jumped off into something really good and enjoyable and fulfilling, while the comic book, not so much.
No.
But as far as, because you put Mr. Gordon on the spot first, I've had some time to actually stew over it. As far as what my favorite movie is, and I'm gonna say the first Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, interesting.
I almost said the first Avengers, but I'm going to go with the first Guardians of the Galaxy because it did what Black Panther would do later, or just now, what Black Panther would do just now. It carved out a whole new chunk of the Marvel Universe that we had not been in yet.
Yeah.
It like revealed a whole extra piece. And the addition of so many new pieces to not the framework, because I don't want to talk about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show because I will shake my fist. But because they added so many new pieces to the toy box with Guardians of the Galaxy that. And they ramped up the humor and the emotion, and the humor that tied into the story, and that they pushed that to 11 to such an extent in Guardians of the Galaxy that I think it had a positive effect on the ensuing movies.
Yeah. That's an interesting point. Okay, John, your favorite one so far and why?
I mean, the one that means most to me is the first Avengers movie, just because.
Sure, yeah.
That, and also, like, on a personal level, like, that we took our kids out of school and went Friday to one of the first shows, and that was a great day seeing that with my kids the first time. That was awesome. In terms of me, I would watch them all 100 times again, but I really enjoy Winter Soldier just because one of the things they've done that's so great is every movie is not the same.
Yeah.
They've taken these Marvel characters and Marvel movies and they've done different styles of movies. You know, they've done heist movies and they've done, you know, origin story movies. And then they've done with the Winter Soldier, they did this kind of 70s spy thriller kind of movie. And I really enjoyed that. I thought it was well done.
Mm-hmm. Jim, have you told us your favorite one and why? I can't remember if you...
I'm changing my mind listening to everybody talk about theirs. It's like, holy cow.
Yeah.
And it's hard because it's almost like I love all of them for different reasons. And it's almost like they're all tied for second behind, you know, the Avengers. And mostly because the Avengers was... you know, what all of this was leading to in phase one. It was like, you know, we're going to get all of these heroes together as a team for the first time on a big screen, and that's going to be cool. And it was even cooler than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, I mean, little things like, you know, everybody's performances in those movies, because they, for many of them, it was their second time around playing the character. They were a little bit more assured about what they were doing. I keep telling people all the time that my favorite Captain America movie is the last one that I saw Chris Evans play Captain America in, because he gets so much better with his performance. And it's almost like, I think, Van, you and I have had this conversation where I love the first Avenger just because of the nostalgia factor and the fact that it's a period movie. And I love the World War II setting, but he's not really Captain America in that movie just yet. Like he hasn't become the Cap that I grew up with as a kid reading comics.
Right.
And he almost gets there in the Winter Soldier, and he's almost there in Age of Ultron. And Civil War was the first time that I was like, holy cow, like that's the comic book Captain America.
Yeah.
Like that's the dude. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see him in this movie, because I feel like he's going to be even more of that. Like he's going to be the leader of the Marvel heroes that he always is. Like, mm-hmm. you know, everybody defers to him whenever a decision needs to be made in situations like this. And, but by the same token, there's things in the Iron Man movies that I love just because, you know, Downey Jr.'s become so iconic as Tony Stark, even though that's not the Tony that we grew up reading in the comics. So, you know, it's weird. And then something like Doctor Strange comes along and I'm like, hey, that's cool too. Like it's just as cool as some of the other stuff. So, and it's hard to ignore what they did with Black Panther. I mean, that movie's amazing for a number of reasons. And I made a comment to somebody the other day where I said, because they were asking me about, well, aren't they going to kill off some characters in Infinity War? I mean, don't they, some of these guys, their contracts are coming up, and don't they have to start weeding out some characters? And I said, yeah, but even if they were to get rid of the entire original group of Avengers, look at who you've still got left. You've got Black Panther and Doctor Strange and Ant-Man and Wasp and the Guardians of the Galaxy and Spider-Man. And I mean, it's amazing. And you've got Captain Marvel coming out next year. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yes, by the way, I'm looking at the one of the Avengers Infinity War posters. I have it up as the main thing on the Avengers Assemble site right now while I get ready to redo that site. And it's funny how so many of the main male leads have facial hair now. You got Iron Man with his goatee he always has. Thor's got a beard now. Captain America's got a beard now. Of course, Black Panther has his scruffy beard. It's like it's like this should be Civil War because everybody's got a beard. But
And I also noticed, by the way, that the Vision and the Scarlet Witch are the two of them alone together in the top corner. So that's very interesting, because they hinted in Civil War very, very subtly that the two had a little something going on. And in Age of Ultron, we saw a tiny bit of that, I think. But it's clear that together they have the Vision and the Scarlet Witch as a thing here on this poster, which is pretty cool. I haven't given mine, and you guys all make great cases, and I've been thinking about it, and I like when you said they're all kind of tied for second. Jim, you said behind Avengers, but for me, it's like they're all kind of tied for second behind nothing, because the thing for me, and I don't want to be negative, it's just that I'm still waiting for the perfect Marvel movie. They're all amazingly great. It's like so many of them are nines, and I'm just still waiting for that 10. And the thing that often holds them back is that there'll be just one thing in them that kind of makes me go, oh, but there was that. You know, like I love Guardians of the Galaxy. I love almost everything about Guardians of the Galaxy, except that Ronan is terrible, and the dance off against Ronan, while it was cute, is not how I really want to see a big cosmic Marvel movie in. So that one I was kind of like, yeah, the very end. And the Nova Corps kind of ticked me off too, because they were guys flying spaceships and not Novas. Though I understand, you know, why that would be and all that, right? But I mean, like all of them, I mean, in Avengers, the first Avengers, Loki's just, he's great. He's a great supporting character. He's just not a great leading villain to me. The first couple of Iron Man movies, well, the first Iron Man movie is fantastic, but it's the first movie, and it shows that it had probably like the lowest budget of all of these. And Ironmonger is not a great villain. I mean, Bridges was okay, but it's just like every one of these has something about it that I'm like, oh, but there was that. So I'm really, really hoping that this one will be the one that just goes to 11 even, you know what I mean? So I'm going to say that right now, a bunch of them are tied for second, and I don't really have a favorite because I'm cheating, because I'm the host. I can cheat. Ha-ha! But if I was really had to do it, I would probably say the first Avengers movie. Not first Avenger, but the first Avengers movie. Because I think it came the closest, right? I mean, that Joss Whedon vibe was so strong through it. I was thrilled when they said he was doing it. So I think my... Does anybody have any follow-up to any of that before we go to our next topic? No? Okay.
I was going to say the first of it, like you said, I was battling in my mental thinking about whether I was going to say Avengers was my favorite. Mm-hmm. And I went with Guardians, but Avengers is, that's the one where it all coalesced for the first time.
Yeah.
And that's the one where... that, like, there are so many individual bits in just one movie. Over the course of the entire Marvel Universe, every movie has individual little things that are just so great. And Avengers had lots of those, all in one movie. But the rest of the movie spread them out. And there were... As a successful movie doing a thing that had not been done before, Avengers just broke so much ground.
Yeah, it's got
It's
got that iconic moment that I think that's the most powerful moment of any of them, where you first see, you know, Tony and Steve and Thor together on the screen for the first time. And as comic fans, you're geeking out, but as movie fans, you're geeking out because you have a history with them already.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think too, the first Avengers movie was still when the characters were more pure. You know, in other words, Thor back then was the Thor we know. I like what they've done with him. I like that they're going in different directions with him. That's cool. I mean, you don't need to, you know, tread water forever, but back then, Thor looked like Thor and acted like Thor and sounded like Thor, and he had his hammer, you know, and Captain America was Captain America, you know. He had his shield and his mask, for better or worse, and all that. And Iron Man was still, you know, kind of before all the crap hit the fan. So I like that movie, you know, at the time it felt like this is just the beginning of a bunch of stuff like this, but you realize the characters had to change, the story had to evolve, and, you know, for better or worse, that was the time that we, I guess Ultron too, because by the time of Civil War, they're all starting to behave differently. You can see the things falling apart a little bit and all. So that was kind of like the first moment they all came together, but also kind of the high point of them all coming together in retrospect, at least in a positive way. You know? So, Any other thoughts about the leading up to the movie? Because I want to go into the movie now. Let's talk briefly about where this story all came from. This comes out of a whole bunch of comics, and I think notably people are talking about the Infinity Gauntlet story, which is, I was surprised this movie wasn't called Infinity Gauntlet originally, because it really is Infinity Gauntlet. It even shows the glove a lot. And so this is a story where Thanos is trying to gather up these Infinity Gems, and I don't know, I'm not really sure how to ask this, but what about the original story appealed to you guys? And you know, let's talk about, just for a minute, let's talk about the background, where this all came from, which was the comics. So let me go to you first, Jim, because you've been tracking this with me for years now. Is this going kind of where you'd want it to go? I know you said we never even dreamed we'd see it, but is this going where you'd want it to go and what you'd want to see in kind of a Thanos Infinity type story from what you can tell so far? If that makes
sense. I mean, I think the main reason why it almost has to go in that direction is because you've built up this catalog of so many characters that, you know, you need somebody with that power level for them to fight. I mean, you can't bring in, you know, like you said earlier, I mean, if they had the Fantastic Four rights 10 years ago, they wouldn't have built up to Doctor Doom, because, you know, Doctor Doom's not even in the same level as Thanos. And then when you bring in the Infinity Gems and the Gauntlet, there's so much power that they're fighting over that it makes sense that you need to have, you know, this massive army of heroes to battle it, right? And I think that's where the comic was going, was if you look at all of the different kind of crossovers and big major events that they had before the Infinity Gauntlet series, you know, like Secret Wars and things like that, they were constantly trying to one-up the last thing. And Infinity Gauntlet was kind of like the pinnacle, where we need a villain, we need an event that we can bring every hero across the Marvel universe together, not just the ones on Earth, but we need to bring in the cosmic heroes and tie everything together so that they're all battling like this one big bad, right? And, you know, Thanos just makes the most sense, I think. Just because of appearances that we've seen over the years and the fact that he's always been obsessed with death and trying to destroy the universe. And, you know, that's the foe that you want this cosmic army of heroes to have to battle. So it made sense in the comic, and it kind of makes even more sense in the movies, because you don't really have to describe a whole lot of backstory. I mean, it's pretty easy to describe what Thanos's deal is and what he wants to accomplish.
Yeah, is it just me, or do I feel like there's a little bit of the Korvac saga woven into this too, in the sense of the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxy teaming up against a big cosmic villain that could destroy the, you know, I mean, it's, I know it's Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War, but, you know, you go back to the 70s and Korvac was basically the same story. And I swear, if they get on a bus to go fight Thanos, I'm just going to stand up in the theater and scream. John, I want to get your...
Thanks.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
I'm going to get John, then I'm going to get Joe. John, your thoughts reading Marvel Comics throughout the years, is this kind of where you thought it would go? And what do you think about this being the story and the villain and everything?
I think it makes sense from a movie perspective where they're going with it. The interesting parts are all the other parts of the Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet, all that stuff that they haven't brought in or probably won't bring in, like his love affair with death as an individual.
Yeah.
And kind of death personified. And, you know, what if they made this movie and either death was a character or Thanos was kind of crazy and believed that he was talking to death the whole time. And it was kind of a love story between Thanos and death.
How sweet.
So anyhow, I just thought that was
kind of a rom-com. Thanos and death, a rom-com. I like it.
But it makes him, the whole idea of the original comic story made him such a good character because he wasn't just like a homicidal maniac. Mm-hmm. He was trying to impress a woman by doing all this stuff. So,
yeah, I love that he's impressing a woman and it's like a skeleton in a hood, but it's still a woman he's trying to impress. I love that. Joe, you've read these comics. You've been around forever, just like the rest of us in all this stuff. Is this what you wanted and where you thought this would go? And what do you think about the comics going into this?
I'm all in for where this is going in the movie. I was not a fan of the Infinity Gauntlet comics.
Ooh, interesting.
I remember getting it because it was Marvel's thing. It was Marvel's summer thing, probably. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember when it came out, but that was the big Marvel thing of that season, that year, whenever it happened. And it had not, the Infinity Gauntlet series, the very first one, it had not ramped up to the point where they were doing a bazillion crossovers and tie-ins leading into it. The later Infinity, like the Infinity Crusade and the Infinity War miniseries afterward, did that. Mm-hmm. Infinity Gauntlet, less so. But the Infinity Gauntlet series... Okay, but let me step back just a second and say that the Infinity Gauntlet series did for Thanos what... it made him a bigger part of the Marvel Universe itself. Up until that point, I felt like Thanos and Adam Warlock's battle was the main thrust of the whole thing, and the Marvel Universe was just scene decoration.
Mm-hmm.
Like they could have put Adam and Thanos in any continuity, in their own continuity with no Marvel Universe, and it still would have been that. But Infinity Gauntlet is when they injected him full on into the Marvel Universe. And I love Jim Starlin. I love Thanos's all the Thanos stuff leading up to that point. But the Infinity Gauntlet miniseries, and of course, the scene with Cap and Thanos is terrific.
Yeah.
I cling to that. And from the 2 seconds in the trailer, we may be getting something like that.
I was going to say, yeah, it looks like we will. That's right.
I'm pretty pumped about that. But that is the only scene that I recall really liking about the Infinity Gauntlet comic. And in the end, it didn't have any effect on the outcome of the story. The Infinity Gauntlet story resets at the end, and none of it happened.
Yeah.
To my recollection, there was no fallout from Infinity Gauntlet. The next month, everybody was just the original Secret Wars pretty much did this too. But again, different story, different podcast. We could go down that rabbit hole later. But the Infinity Gauntlet did not have a lasting effect on the universe, the Marvel Universe. The Infinity Gauntlet just ended, and you're like, well, Thanos is sad. Oh, well, here's Adam Warlock. Oh, okay. And either nobody remembers or all the half the universe that was wiped out gets unwiped. And the heroes aren't like that. They didn't have the recollection of, geez, we just stood on a rock and fought Thanos and everybody got killed. There was none of that. There was no fallout, no after effects. It did not change the universe.
Yeah. Didn't Thanos end
and
up going...
That frustrated me terribly, because when you build up to such a giant thing, give me something.
Yeah, that's fair.
But instead it was just everybody throws everything they have against Thanos and nothing works. he slips on a banana peel, the end.
and Warlock ends up with the gauntlet, I believe. And doesn't Thanos like go off and become a farmer or something after that story? It seems
yes.
like.
Come on.
Now we got.
I remember being furious then, and I'm getting mad again now.
Well, I don't think we're going to have that happen in the movie. I doubt it. I do think it's important. I'm glad you mentioned Jim Starlin, because I don't think we should do this whole show without mentioning Jim Starlin. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Starlin. In fact, my favorite comic book story ever is the Avengers versus is the Avengers Annual Number 7, Marvel 2-1 Annual Number 2 story, where Thanos is not trying to kill half the universe. He's bringing all the gems together to make a big gun to blow up stars. And that aside, which is kind of weird, but that aside, because I guess with the Infinity Gauntlet, he figured out how to do it all at once rather than having to go star to star to star, which would take freaking forever. But yeah, you had that awesome, you know, you had all the Avengers, you had Captain Marvel, you had Warlock, Spider-Man, and the Thing. And by the way, I always like to point out that was a story where we found out that the entire reason Peter Parker became Spider-Man was to rescue Warlock so he could kill Thanos the first time. So I always thought that was funny.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was very funny. Okay, so let's dig into the movie itself now. How do y'all want to approach this? Because I'm trying to moderate here, but I'm staggered by the scope of what we're looking at. I'm not sure what to say. I mean, you want to go around and talk about like what you think's going to happen, what you want to happen, let's just dig into the movie a little bit and you can kind of go which way you want to go. Michael, you're due up. So dig into the movie a little bit now coming up, and this is our last major segment. What do you think is going to, you know, what are your thoughts about as we get into this movie?
Well, as you mentioned, I try to stay away from spoilers. Obviously, with this much hype, it's difficult. I've seen the trailers. I've seen a couple of other things here and there. But one thing that I feel really comfortable with is the fact that the plot line for this seems pretty straightforward, right? Like Thanos is collecting the stones, and they're trying to stop him. So I'm like, okay, so this is... Now, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of character moments along the way. There's going to be a lot, maybe a couple twists and turns, that kind of thing. But the basic plot sounds pretty simple, and I think you need that for something of this size, right? You need a sort of straightforward story. So I'm pretty happy about that. And, look, I just have been enjoying what I've seen so far, and hopefully even more so the interaction between all these characters that we still haven't seen interact before. You know, the sequences that they've shown on the trailers between, you know, Iron Man and Star-Lord have been hilarious. Between Spider-Man and Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a hoot to see all these characters interact with one another.
Yeah, you know, the Russo brothers have said that there are several one-on-one interactions that they think are the best, and the ones they mention are not, I don't think, the ones we've even seen in the trailer. So I'm very much looking forward to that, because I think there's really two things to look forward to in this movie in general. One is going to be the epic clash with the villains, but the other is, like you say, it's the relationships, it's the interaction of characters we don't normally see together. That should just be absolutely fantastic. So John, what are you thinking along those lines as far as the movie itself?
I absolutely, that's the part I'm looking forward to the most, even more than the combat stuff. And the parallel I want to make is to Game of Thrones and the last season of Game of Thrones, where characters who had not been together in the books or in the TV series for either ever or for three or four or five books were together and were interacting. And there were things they needed to say to each other that we had been waiting for years, you know, a long time in some of our cases, for them to say them. And that was big. Mm-hmm. It really made it meaningful. So it's the same thing with this, where it's, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy meeting the Avengers. I mean, all of us can't wait to see that interaction with the Avengers meeting Rocket and young Groot. And also I think the different Avengers, you know, interacting with each other. And especially the dynamic kind of post Civil War with Avengers getting back together, because I know they need to. So.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good way to set this movie up, was to have Civil War first, because that way you tear the team apart, and so you say not only are the Avengers fighting their biggest foe, they're facing him at a time when they are at their most divided, you know. So I thought that's what you want to do. It almost turns the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe up into this point into kind of a 3 or 4 act story, doesn't it? So I immediately got to go to Jim, of course, then, because you have the vision of the big picture here. We've talked about this for years. The whole thing becomes like a multi-act play, doesn't it? And we're seeing the final act here, or at least the beginning of the final act.
Yeah, and you know, I just the first thing I want to throw out, because I've got a couple of things real quick. I've mentioned this now every time we've talked about the Avengers movies, the first one or the second one, and they teased it in the second one. I've said it before, I'll say it again. For crying out loud, this is going to be the third Avengers movie. If I don't get Captain America saying Avengers Assembled, I'm yep. walking out of the theater and driving to Hollywood and punching somebody in the face, because that's the iconic line, isn't it? I mean, don't we need, and I've argued with various people, because I said, you know, it can't be Tony, even though Downey Jr. is the biggest star in the MCU. It has to be Cap. Mm-hmm. He has to be the one to say it. And if it's not in this movie, I don't know when they do it. I mean, yeah. It's the lead up to Avengers 4, and you know, I'm sure we'll close with this and everything that might happen with that, but I mean, we're 3 movies into it now. Like, can't we get somebody to say Avengers Assembled, for crying out loud?
Holy cow, Jim. You know what? I've been thinking and thinking for weeks. What are they going to call Avengers 4? What if they just call it Avengers Assemble? What if at the end of this movie, they're broken, Thanos is on top, you know, and you kind of have a little bit of a closure, but you know you still have that big battle to come. So what if in Avengers 4, they bring them all back together completely and heal all the rifts, and we call it Avengers Assemble? That's the first thing I've thought of yet that even remotely sounds plausible. I don't know.
But like we, you know, was mentioned earlier, the stuff that I'm really looking forward to is the character moments between characters that have either not met each other before. Tom Holland as Spider-Man is just infectious, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that kind of over the top enthusiasm he had, both in Civil War and in Spider-Man Homecoming, and to see him thrown into an even bigger cast of heroes, and just knowing, like, the bit that's been in, you know, one of the previews, I think, with him and Doctor Strange, where, you know, he introduces himself to Doctor Strange and Doctor Strange says, you know, I'm Doctor Strange, and he goes, oh, we're using our superhero code name. Like,
our made up names.
It's just little stuff like that, you know. Or on the dramatic side, I really want to see Black Widow and the Hulk interacting, because they left that story in a really bad place at the end of Age of Ultron.
Yeah, and it's, a little bit.
It's kind of like, you know, where are they going to be coming from, and are we going to get some resolution to their relationship? And you know, I mean, there's so much stuff. It's like, you know, I want Bucky to be okay. I mean, are they going to go down the path of killing off Steve Rogers so that Bucky can be Captain America? Like, there's so much stuff. And I made a comment on Facebook a couple of weeks ago where I don't know whether this movie's going to be like 15 minutes of story and plot and then a 2-hour fight scene. Yeah. Or if we're going to get 30-minute fight scenes broken up by 5 or 10 minutes of plot here and there. And somebody said, does it really matter? And I said, no, it doesn't. Like, this movie's going to be great no matter how they do it.
Yeah.
As long as somebody says, Avengers Assemble, damn it.
That's fair.
And it's got to, it better be Chris Evans. If it's not, I'm going to be hot.
Let me pause here and thank the folks that put our show on the air every, our shows on the air every week, because we have quite a few shows. Of course, if you are listening to this show and you like the stuff like this, of course, we have our On Our Majesty's Secret podcast show about James Bond. We're putting out, like, they've been putting out like two new shows a week lately on there. And of course, all the stuff that we do on the White Rocket Entertainment Network in general about everything from Game of Thrones that John and I talk about to the Marvel Cinematic Universe that Jim and I usually talk about, and so much more. I mean, let me just thank our patrons that contribute through Patreon.com, Patreon.com. And you can go and join the crowd there and help us to keep producing these shows. We always have to thank our main supporters, Nicholas Cottrell, Joseph Fine, Christopher Burleson, and Samuel Salvatore. And also Phil Amthor of WeHaveDonuts.com, Steve Trewick, Richard Stevens, Justin Bean, Chris Usher, David Evers, Tom Anderson, Timothy, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Steve Harlan, Andrew Barber, Jared Albrick, Rich Reimer, Bill Matthews, Will Summerford, John McCune, Catherine England, and Ann Congian. And then we have David Simpson, Josh Teal, Mike Finley, Randall Walker, C.T. Wayne, Earl Ricks, Dave Powell, Michael Kirshner, Mick Vijakana, Matt Rubenheimer, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, George Gaston, Tony Perry and Alex Nguyen, Clay Henson, and then finally J.W. Rice, Wardam Wade, Dave Medinas, Mark Squire, Joey Miller, Matthew Wagstaff, Russell Milling, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Brant Rumble, Nicholas Craig, Patrick Williams, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, and our one-time and anonymous donors. And as I always say, if I left anybody off, let me know, because I always want to make sure I thank all of our great supporters. So Patreon.com, for as little as $1 a month, you can help defray the cost of putting on all of our various shows and other things that we do, including getting John and me to a football game to do a live broadcast this fall. That'll be fun. All right, so who has not yet gotten to say something about the movie? Did I get to you already? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
Okay, go ahead. What do you think about it?
Well, I've just been stewing about Infinity Gauntlet this whole time.
Let it go.
But what I don't want is, like, I don't know what I want, because now I actually don't know this. Let me ask you this. Is this movie a Lord of the Rings situation where Avengers 4 is coming next year? Like, are they filming everything all at once?
Yeah, they've already filmed, I think, all of it. Yeah, and it's coming next summer. Yeah.
Well, if it's like just half of a story, that's great. Because then I know we're going to get the other half, and that'll be fine. Empire Strikes Back. Well, go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to answer that. Yeah, they've been very evasive about that. Just to answer your question, originally it was called Avengers: Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2, but then very quickly they jettisoned that and said this is Infinity War and it's a movie by itself, and I can't tell. Okay, this is the thing. I cannot suss out whether that's more motivated by fear that they won't get as much business for it if it's, quote, half a story, unquote, or whether they honestly have decided to write this and direct it and make it as one separate movie from the next one. I don't know how much of it is these really are two separate movies and how much of it is marketing, in other words.
Sure. Well, for the overarching story, I don't care for the commentary. And, of course, you have to. You're trying to pump it. You know, you're trying to market it as the big final movie. We know it's not the final Marvel Universe movie. We know that.
Right.
I think moviegoers, less so than – or more so by far than comic readers, are used to characters dying and that being the final thing, the final word on those characters. You're like, okay, that's it. In Star Wars and Star Trek, somebody dies not so much Star Trek, but characters die. all the time. But in the Marvel Universe, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I don't see anybody we can lose. I don't want Chris Evans to go away. I don't want Robert Downey Jr. to go away. I don't want the guy. Why am I saying Eric Masterson as Thor? I know that's not his real name. I don't want the guy who plays Thor to go away.
Maybe Mantis.
Maybe Mantis, but I don't want this to be a slaughterhouse of my favorite superheroes. Yeah. I'm going to come away happy or dancing a jig at the end of Infinity War if they now and I pay no attention to interviews where they said this is my last contractual movie. This is my last this is all they have for me. That always changes. That always can change. That's not my concern. My concern is if the story says, okay, we're eliminating Captain America and we're going to replace him, I'm kind of sad about that. I'm not ready for that to happen. And I feel like the Marvel Cinematic Universe doesn't need that to continue. I don't really want to see Robert Downey Jr. obliterated, never to appear again. And that is my concern. That's my main concern about not just Robert Downey Jr., but about anybody. That's my main concern about the movie.
All right. The last question I'm going to ask you guys, and I'll give you a second to think about it while I kind of answer that as best I can, is I'm going to ask you to tell me your prediction of something that happens in this movie that maybe nobody has said so far, or that just you would like to see, whether you think it'll happen or not. So some kind of a prediction, either unexpected or expected, or just that you want. Okay, so you got a little free range. Now, so be thinking about that. I'm going to say, in terms of this movie, I'm just hoping that it is remotely possible to give everybody I like, and there's few of them I don't like, enough screen time. I mean, it's a 2.5-hour movie, but you've got so many characters and so many plots and subplots and character interactions and things going on. Plus, you've got Thanos, and we haven't even talked about this. They're bringing in Thanos' henchmen, and I got to say, I've read all the Thanos stories up through Infinity Crusade, and I also read that Infinity story from just a few years ago. That it was like the first big Thanos story that Jim Starlin didn't write, as far as I know. I have no idea who Corvus Glaive or Funky Shoe or whoever these people are. Go ahead, Joe.
Basically, they're like just henchmen. Okay. They're like henchmen one, henchmen two. They're like goth kids, but essentially that Thanos hangs out with.
Are they like Heralds of Galactus for Thanos almost?
That's kind of it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you almost have to have them in the movie so that it's not just Thanos beating up the heroes for 2 hours. Like there has to be somebody for the heroes to beat.
Yeah.
So that you feel good about their chances when they go up against Thanos.
It's like an entourage. Yeah. It's like his entourage.
He does have an entourage, yeah.
Well, in the comics, at least in the old comics, he just had a whole bunch of aliens that worked for him, like mercenaries. And so you'd have had, like, Captain America fighting the giant snake guy, you know, or something. But, all right, well, let's go ahead and do that then. Let me start with John. What do you predict or want to see or whatever? What do you think?
I do predict that there's, you know, because of the amount of characters and the time, there's going to be some characters that do not get enough screen time or not get enough lines, and people will be unhappy about that. I think that's a certainty.
Hawkeye.
Where is Hawkeye?
Sorry. Pick one, whoever. There's plenty. I would say, I'm interested to see, like, do they continue the plot arc from, you know, from Thor Ragnarok with him? Because I think his character has kind of changed. Mm-hmm. Do they keep going that direction with him? And then also the other big question that, for me, the movie is you built this up for Thanos, and the whole movie is about them against Thanos. Thanos, the character in the movie, has to be good. He has to be menacing, and he has to come across that he can kick their ass. So that's the big thing I'm looking forward to finding out.
Very good. Let me ask real quick, what is the deal with Hawkeye? We haven't addressed that. He's not in the posters, but I was thinking he was around in filming. Is he going to be in the movie or not? Does anybody know that?
He is, and I think that's one of the things that the Russos have been trying to keep under wraps as, a big secret so that, not every story plot point's been out. Because there's been some confusion. Well, I don't want to say confusion. I think there's been some misdirection about what his purpose in the movie is, and that he may not be quote unquote Hawkeye in the movie. And so you may see him going down the path of, that Hawkeye's gone down before, where he, takes another code name and becomes a different kind of super heroic character because of the plot.
Ooh, maybe he'll be Stingray.
for that all important underwater battle off the coast of New York. Yeah. There we go. Okay, so I asked John, Joe, your prediction or what you're hoping or afraid of.
I think my fears. I think I covered. I just don't want them to toss a whole bunch of cool Marvel guys into the garbage.
Yeah.
For the purposes of having a big blowout ending or a big, a big shock, not necessarily a shock ending, but a big impactful ending. Mm-hmm. And I want them to use death as the impact. I feel like, and of course, the good guys have to take it a little bit before they dish it. But I want the cathartic ending of the bad guys get their butts handed to them. That's what I want. And if that has to happen in the next movie, I mean, okay, I'm used to that Star Wars wise, but I would like a complete movie. I think I would like a complete story in this, but I don't want them to put all their eggs in this basket and there's nothing left for the next movie. But I'm pretty confident that they know what they're doing as far as that goes. As far as having all the little character bits, that's what I'm most looking forward to. Like you guys have said, all these guys all being together all at once, like Black Panther's cast interacting with everybody. That's mm-hmm. brand new.
Yeah.
And seeing Shuri with on the screen with all these people And of course, Kid Groot and all that stuff. I'm pumped for all that. As far as what I want to see, I feel like I want to see more Marvel-y stuff. I want to see as much Marvel-y stuff as they can cram into this thing. Let's see. I covered that thing. The other thing, and as far as the complete story, lots of cool character moments, not throwing everybody, tons of people into the garbage. Here's the joke I wanted to make. They've done this before with a zillion characters. Two words for you: Cannonball Run.
Yes. Hadn't thought of that, but okay.
Well, why can't they just do? Why can't this be that? There was plenty of room for all the characters. Everybody had an arc.
They did, sort of.
And it ended well, Let's just do that in. So the precedent is there.
You know, now I got to do a White Rocket show on Cannonball Run. So put that on your calendar, Joe. We're gonna come.
I'm in.
That.
I'm all in.
Was just gonna say, I think we may be one of the few groups of people that would love a Cannonball Run reboot.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Oh my gosh, sure. Bring it.
Oh, that would be great.
I want a Cannonball Run universe. Can we do that?
There you go.
As long as Dom DeLuise isn't anywhere, or his ghost isn't anywhere near it. All right.
Well, geez, now I want his ghost to be in it. The ghost of Dom DeLuise.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Now, thanks to Joe, at the end of this, I'm seeing like the final battle. All the Marvel heroes are just decimated, and the only thing that stands between Thanos and his goal is Captain Chaos.
Da, da, da. Oh, no. Oh, gosh. Michael, tell us your hopes and dreams about this movie and so forth.
Well, not knowing, and I like not knowing. Not knowing if
Agreed.
This is going to be is going to be a complete story or not, makes a little bit of a difference here. But I would like to, I don't know, for me, I would like to see when at some point, and maybe it's the final thing, where Thanos is up against what I would call the MCU Trinity, right? So you have, Cap and Iron Man and Thor against Thanos, just like the three of them standing. And that would be, we in the previews, you kind of see Thanos. It looks like he's throwing Tony around. There's a great shot of him versus Steve, and Steve's got his I can do this all day face on, which I love. But Thor's not really in there, so I don't know how that's going to work out. But I think ultimately I would like to see, like, that would give me the same kind of chills I got from their introduction in the first or their meeting in the first Avengers movie.
Yeah, that's good. Jim, hopes, dreams, and predictions. And fears.
Oh, wow. It was funny because when you first asked the question an hour and a half ago, I thought this was oddly specific to me because I have a very specific, like almost like I'm calling a home run shot.
Yeah.
That I was talking to somebody the other day about, just kind of reading into everything that we've seen in trailers and commercials. So I'll give you that, and then I want to give you kind of where I think things are going to end, leading into the fourth movie. My called home run shot is I've noticed that we've seen lots of hero shots of the Hulkbuster fighting in Wakanda. And we've also seen the Incredible Hulk fighting in Wakanda, but we've not seen them fighting in the same scene. So I put my Sherlock Holmes cap on and I said to myself, well, in Thor Ragnarok, Bruce was really worried about the fact that he was having a harder and harder time transforming back and forth, and that he was worried that if he transformed into the Hulk too many times that he would not be able to turn back into Bruce, right? So I think in this one, Bruce is the one that's going to be wearing the Hulkbuster armor, because he doesn't want to turn into the Hulk.
Interesting.
He's afraid that if he turns into the Hulk, this is going to be the last time. He's not going to be able to turn back into Bruce. And he wants to contribute in a fight, so he uses the Hulkbuster armor. So my called home run shot is that I think there's going to be a moment where the heroes are really getting it handed to them, and even Bruce in the Hulkbuster armor is not able to make a difference, and he starts getting beat, and he realizes that he doesn't have a choice, and he needs to save them by turning into the Hulk. And we're going to get a spectacular shot of the Hulk busting out of the Hulkbuster armor.
Yes, absolutely.
And using the wreckage of the Hulkbuster armor to just beat the hell out of people.
Yes.
And I think the entire audience is going to jump up out of their chairs and scream and yell.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen, I don't know why.
I can totally see that happening. Totally. Absolutely.
But as far as where it's going and kind of Avengers 4, I told somebody the other day, I literally think this movie is going to end with everybody dead. I think that everybody in this movie, we're going to get the realization of Tony's vision, where he saw the Avengers laid out at the feet of Thanos and, you know, Cap's shield broken and blah, 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 and all that stuff. I don't think it's going to be a literal realization of that, but I think everybody's going to be dead. And who are we left with? Well, we know Ant-Man and the Wasp is coming out this summer, and they're not a part of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
So I think, and Captain Marvel is coming out next year before Avengers 4. So that Captain Marvel movie is the interesting one because it's a period piece that takes place in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken.
90s, I think. But yeah, you're right.
Oh, it's the early 90s. Right, yeah. Right. It's before Iron Man, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to freak everybody out by killing everybody and leaving it as a cliffhanger. And then the fourth Avengers movie is going to somehow be this really cool Ant-Man has to go back through alternate dimensions and the different realities and maybe even time travel a little bit. And he's able to pull together an Avengers team from various parts of history. So, because I already know that they've said there are scenes that were shot with all of the characters in their costumes from the original Avengers movie.
Oh.
So, like, Cap's in his Avengers 1 outfit.
Ooh.
And Thor's in his Avengers 1 outfit. So I think he's going to cobble together an all-star super Avengers team.
Kind of Avengers Forever.
Yes. And they're going to come together to defeat Thanos in Avengers 4 and kind of reset things. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you and I have talked where that opens the door for them with the Fantastic Four and with the X-Men. And, you know, if they end Avengers 4 with almost a soft reboot of the MCU,
yeah,
where things are not altogether changed, but they're different enough that it opens the door for all of the characters that they got back from Fox.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting. This is, again, these are not spoilers. These are all predictions. We don't know, but we got some brains on this show, and we have me and Joe. I'm just kidding. Kidding, Joe. All right, my quick thing. Two things. One is I want to see either and some combination of, or at least just one of them, Captain Marvel, Mar-Vell. Okay. I know we're getting Carol, but the original Captain Mar-Vell and or Warlock, for crying out loud, since it's a Thanos movie, and we did kind of see Warlock at the end of the Guardians of the Galaxy. Or a Nova, a singular Nova. I want one of those three Marvel hero cosmic characters that needs to be in a Thanos movie to be in this and or maybe in the fourth one. The other thing that I really kind of want to see is I hope that in all the hubbub and all the craziness, I hope that we get Vision and the Scarlet Witch to have their own little moment somewhere along the line, at least some kind of moment. We know, we kind of from the trailer know they sort of do, and we see a very interesting looking Vision, don't we? And I hope that we don't see the Vision immediately taken out, because I love that character. I haven't totally loved what they've done with him so far in the movies, but I think they've set up where they could do really cool things with him if they want to. But judging by his size on the poster, which is as small as any character can be on this poster, the two smallest characters on the poster are the Vision and Wong, okay? That does not give me hope. That does not give me hope right there. Mantis is like three times bigger than the Vision. Rocket, well, of course Rocket, but I mean, when Mantis is three times bigger than you, it's not a good sign. So I'm afraid we're going to lose the Vision in this movie. I'm afraid Thanos is going to beat him down and take his gem away from him and drop it into his glove. And we kind of can't tell. You know how they do trailers? They combine and mix and match scenes. So we don't know exactly how that plays out. It kind of looks like how it goes a certain way, but we can't be sure. But I just hope that the Vision and the Scarlet Witch get a little happiness before, you know, Thanos comes in to rip everybody apart. All right, our time for our last, like, 20-second thoughts going around. John, your last 20-second thought on this movie.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
That's all. That's it.
Yeah,
let's really get it. And here's the important thing. Yeah. If you don't want to get spoiled, it's time to mute stuff on social media and staying off the internet.
Yeah, I think they've embargoed reviews until maybe Thursday or something, but still.
Even then, yeah. mute terms on Twitter and other places and stay off social media and the internet if you don't want to know.
Good thinking. Jim, your last 20-second thoughts on it.
How does this movie not make $1 billion this weekend when it comes out?
I mean, kidding.
This is everything that we've ever wanted to see in one movie. And it, like everybody else, I can't wait to see it.
I think I'm going to have to just give Fandango my routing number and check number and just say, take what you need, okay? Whatever's fair. I'll just be in the theater. Joe, final 20-second thoughts.
The next phase better have two-gun kid.
Yes. Very good. Shooting telephones because them contraptions is making noise. I love it. And Michael, your last 20-second thoughts.
I am eager to watch history in the making. This is unprecedented.
Unbelievable. I'm so happy we were able to get tickets for Friday, and we're going to be there. We've got like front row center almost, or center row center. It's just going to be awesome. And I guess I haven't done this in a while, but I guess I need to take one of my comics as a good luck charm. I took the Fellowship of the Ring paperback to the first Lord of the Rings movie. I took Avengers 162 to the first Avengers movie, and I'm 2 for 2 on good luck charms. So I may need to take Infinity Gauntlet or Infinity War.
Don't take Infinity Gauntlet!
Okay, there we go.
So good.
I like that we have a running theme through these shows. Yeah, I'll take Infinity War number one. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for coming on board. This was awesome. I know you all, it's when you have a big of an ensemble as this, I hope we got everybody's got plenty of airtime, just like we hope the characters will in the movie. So thanks, everybody, for coming on. And we're going to close up the Avengers Assemble show for this week. And hopefully we'll all have something good to talk about in about a week. So thanks, everybody.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.